to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the FTN NBA Podcast. Friday, March 4th. I am your host, Joe Metz, back with my co-host, Zach Graham. Adam Pfeiffer under the weather today. Uncle Rico had a bit too many steaks. But Zach and I are back. It'll be a quick one today, but we wanted to hop on with so much news now circulating regarding potential expansion teams in the NBA. And underdog playoffs going on. Some Ben Simmons news. We'll cover all three of them. But Zach, first, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Kind of a whirlwind leading up to lock there. Thought it was kind of going to be nice and easy. We were going to wait on Jimmy Butler news, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, Fred VanVleet, who I think this morning was announced in, he ends up out again. Yep. So we have the Malachi Flynn value. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy is out. PJ Tucker also out. Yurtseven gets the start. Everything was going crazy. So hopefully we tackled it well enough where we will see some screenshots in the Discord later on tonight. It seems like we're off to a decent start here.
Yeah, it does. A lot of late pivoting. There was also the news about Sacramento had some travel issues heading from New Orleans to San Antonio, and Alvin Gentry, a very vague statement about kind of tightening the rotation, but it could have been taken that he's just scaling back the minutes from his starters. No idea what, obviously, listening to this podcast Friday morning, you guys know what happened. We don't know at the time of recording what is going on, but we do know Kevin Durant is back on the basketball court, 9 points in his first 8-minute rotation on 4 of 6 shooting, 0 for 2 from 3, but it's good to see the Slim Reaper back in action. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, it came out today, Ben Simmons' back pain, the aggravation, is going to push back his return now to April. What are you hearing from the beats you follow and through the grapevine and everything about Ben Simmons, and how do you think this impacts Brooklyn's playoff push? Because right now they are a play-in team.
Yeah, I mean, I think with KD back now and looking pretty darn good here in the first quarter, scoring the ball at will. We talked about the vaccine mandate potentially being lifted next week. So if you get full-time Kyrie, of course, outside of going to play in Toronto, you get those two guys back. I'm not really nervous about them missing. You know, maybe they stick in the play-in. They're 4 games back in the loss column of that 6th seed right now. Definitely not something that's insurmountable for this team. If they do have Kyrie and KD playing, you know, pretty much the rest of the way here. But it's obviously something I think I asked you this morning if we wanted to discuss this more at length, because I think we were all in line with each other thinking that Ben Simmons would not play that March 10th game in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But the fact that we now have this, yeah, it's a rumor at this point, but a rumor that he's not going to debut in the month of March.
Yeah.
To me says like there's actually something going on here with his back. Is he's dubbed week to week officially now. And we have the information that he has not participated in any 5-on-5 yet. Which, you know, is typically once a player starts getting up and down, you know that the return is imminent, and the fact that he hasn't done any of that yet definitely worries me a bit, because the sky is not falling if April 1st, and I guess we have to watch out for Ben Simmons debuting on April Fool's Day. But if April 1st comes around and Ben Simmons is on the court, they've got 2 weeks to see what they've got, to kind of feel each other out on the court. And you would think that they would be getting in some 5-on-5 practice time before that. But the sooner the better. And I know, you know, I know our buddy Stefano would echo that, obviously being a Nets fan. But like the fact that they made this move, giving up Harden, you know, cut DeAndre Bembry to make room for Seth Curry coming in, Ben Simmons coming in, Andre Drummond coming in. Ben Simmons is the key. I don't taking your Bucks homerism out of it, if you can, without Ben Simmons, do you think this Nets team has what it takes to get out of the East?
No.
And I agree. I don't think that's something that would be a hot take by any means. So I guess I want to see every team full strength coming into the playoffs, but certainly this team, because they are absolutely a contender if they're all on the court. But really, out of those three, if you lose one, I think it is very different now, where with Kyrie, Harden, and KD, I think you could be missing one of those guards and still be all right. I think you could be missing Kyrie and still be all right.
Yeah. I think with Seth Curry there helps quite a bit.
Yeah. But you need Ben Simmons. I would have liked to have either Harden or Simmons. I think that's the only way I can get there on those guys actually being contenders, because we know how tight, how talented this Eastern Conference is this year. And to get out of it, I think you need all three guys.
I think you do, especially because, like you talked about, the extra – and the Bucks haven't been healthy all season. They've played less than one game with their big four. Still no update on Brook Lopez, but if he comes back, that makes him even more dangerous. Philly looks really good. And third game in a row yesterday, they look good. Tyrese Maxey is playing the best basketball of his career right now. I don't know. Like, I think if they don't get Ben Simmons back and Kyrie is at the point a full-time player, I still think I'd take them in a series over Miami, Cleveland, Toronto, all those other teams. I would trust them more. But I don't think they'd be able to get over the hump among the other elite teams. I think Chicago could give them a run and potentially win the series pending health, because that's another team that has struggled pretty mightily with health. Like they absolutely need Caruso and Lonzo Ball back to 100% for the playoffs to make an impact. But it's unfortunate, because I really want to see Ben Simmons play basketball. It's unfortunate because Philly fans just continue to jump all over him on Twitter. Like you guys got James Harden, just fucking let it rest. Isn't this what you wanted?
Leave the guy alone, man.
Like that's what I mean. You're just proving his point for why he wanted out of Philly. If anything, like you're literally just making yourself look like an idiot. But I want to see him play basketball. I think he'll be really good with this group, and hopefully Kevin Durant can stay healthy now and his knee holds up just fine. You know, it looks like it will now. But that kind of sparked my memory about 24 hours ago. We got a kind of a soft update on Zion, that things are encouraging.
Yeah,
he's moving on to weight-bearing activity soon. Still out indefinitely, but you go from weight-bearing, then you'll go to the three-on-three work, and then the five-on-five. So assuming – you can't assume he won't suffer a setback, because that's why we're here right now. He suffered multiple. But things, knock on wood, trending in the right direction. It's just – these big guys with lower body injuries are terrifying, which is kind of my concern with Brook Lopez as well. So hopefully we can get all three of those guys. I'm not going to put Brook Lopez in the same conversation as Ben Simmons and Zion. I mean,
talent-wise and age-wise, very, very different there.
Importance to the team?
Also very different.
also very true.
I know you kind of just went through it, but like without Ben Simmons, I cannot see Brooklyn beating the Heat in a series, and it's not just because the Heat just put it on him in the first quarter just now. It's the other way around.
Brooklyn put it on him in the first quarter.
They don't have Jimmy, they don't have Lowry, they don't have PJ. Assuming health for these other teams, I have a hard time seeing Brooklyn with just Kyrie and KD taking down the Heat. I think that would be a long, drawn out series. Certainly the Bulls healthy, I think, would really push the Nets and probably beat them without Ben Simmons. Philly for sure. And even with Ben Simmons, like, that's really tough for Brooklyn to have any hope of stopping Joel Embiid. I think that might be the nightmare matchup for them. And there's no way they, in my opinion,
it's no them or Toronto or them. It's the Sixers and Toronto are the two teams they just don't want to face.
I don't think you want to see the Bucks either.
No, that's true.
But the thing is, you're going to see at least one of those teams regardless, probably. So, but all that to just highlight the importance of Ben Simmons coming back. And I hope it's at the end of this month and not into April. You know, just for our fandom of the NBA and of basketball and watching the best players go at it when it counts.
Yep. I 100% agreed. So let's transition a little bit. Talking about our NBA fandom, we want to see the best players on the court. But then there's a conversation of expansion teams.
Yeah.
And that gets me really excited as a fan. Like,
mm-hmm.
Seattle, obviously the former home to the Supersonics, a phenomenal sports city in general. You see them with the Seahawks. I don't follow enough baseball to care about the Mariners. But bring back the Sonics. The rumor right now, and I'm going to let you dive into it because you are a little more well-versed in it than I. Vegas and Seattle, there are talks or rumors circulating that they will be the recipient of two expansion teams. How the teams are made up, we don't know. The validity of them, we don't know, because we're getting conflicting reports from three different reliable sources. So what have you heard about the potential for there to be expansion teams in the, not the near future, but the next handful of years?
Well, so this is kind of a, at this point, I think a 5-day saga that I've been following. Maybe not saga, maybe that's a strong word for these little morsels. But yeah, it's been developing, and it started with Boomer team captain Bill Simmons. We're talking about a lot of Simmonses here, but yeah, Bill Simmons of the Ringer, of course, who I am. Now, I used to be a bigger fan, I think, and now it just kind of in his advanced age, he's not a senior citizen by any means, of course. I think he's like, I don't know, late 40s, early 50s. But he's starting to adapt the
Boomer Celtics mentality.
And he doesn't watch as much basketball, I think, as he used to, which is fair. Guy's got a lot on his plate. He's done very well for himself
Peak Bill Simmons was like the start of the Ringer. Like, remember Grantland?
Of course.
That was Grantland. Like my favorite publication, which obviously mm-hmm. turned into the Ringer and everything. But mm-hmm. I completely concur. But Bill Simmons obviously does still carry weight in this type of conversation.
And he knows he's got sources. He has people's phone numbers, et cetera. He is very plugged in still. And I believe it was his Sunday night podcast this week where he said that there was an ownership. He had sources telling him that there's an ownership group in Vegas potentially involving LeBron James after he was to retire that wanted to bring a team there, and that he had heard that it's not just Vegas, but that Seattle would also be getting a team, which would make sense that the NBA would bring two teams in, I think, to go from 30 to 32. Then yesterday on Wednesday, the league said that I have it pulled up here. There was an NBA spokesperson that denied the validity of Bill Simmons' recent comments. But then later on Wednesday, this is what made me want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The mayor of Seattle, whose name is Bruce Harrell. So Mayor Harrell said, quote, "The odds are high. We're actively engaging to bring professional basketball back to the city. We are very intentional about it. I chase down rumors and I chase down actual people in a position to make that happen. I feel good about our opportunity."
Okay.
And so the first thing I would say is that this seems very likely to me, if there is expansion, that those are the two cities, because Seattle is a basketball hotbed. For those, I mean, I'm sure most basketball fans know that there is a large portion of the league that comes from Seattle, DeJounte Murray. And I mean, Jamal Crawford, it's like the list goes on.
Yep.
But the Supersonics obviously are a relatively storied franchise, made the finals in the late 90s, took on, Jordan's Bulls with the Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Detlef Schrempf, Hershey Hawkins, Sonics. And I've always thought
Detlef Schrempf. I haven't heard that.
Oh
in a
yeah.
Long time.
Oh yeah. I've always been a fan of the Sonics colors, whether it was kind of that that dark green and red that they were wearing in the 90s, or the more like green and yellow that they had before they moved to OKC. And then Vegas, I think we've seen over the last couple of years, the Aces moving there, the Golden Knights, then the Raiders.
Yep. So like it's the natural progression of
exactly. The NBA makes sense. So I have two questions for you about this.
Okay.
What do you think? I guess it's really just it's one question, two parts. When they move a team back to Seattle, because I'm gonna go ahead and say that this
I'm gonna say one as well. Yes.
Do you take the Supersonics name back?
I think you do.
I'm also in that boat. But
I think they should. I think they should.
If there's anybody who was a Sonics fan when the team was there or lives in the Seattle, the Washington area up there in the Northwest, let us know if you're an FTN subscriber. Tag me in the Discord if you listen to this. I want to know what I wish I knew Sonics fans so I could know what they think. Do they want to continue that same name for the franchise, or do they want to start anew? And then the part two of that is if they move a team to Vegas, what's the name of that team? Because I was thinking, first of all, Aces, right? So I was thinking Kings, but obviously we can't have, unless we can legally change the Sacramento King, franchise the to King Kangs,
yeah.
right? To K-A-N-G-Z, and then let the Vegas Kings happen. But yes, like anything off the top of your head that you would name a Vegas basketball franchise? This might be a better question for producer Thomas, who is a Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you have to think of the theme of Vegas, gambling, nightlife, like the spades or some shit. I don't know. Like
that's not bad.
But I'm worried with Vegas. And the thing is, this may be obviously a bigger reflection on the personnel in the Raiders organization. There might not be a more troubled team in the NFL.
That was true in Oakland, though, right?
It was true in Oakland, but look at the uptick of issues they've had off the field in the last 2 years since the move to Vegas. I'm not saying it is correlated, but
I don't think John Gruden's like two decades of bullshit.
No, geez, no. I'm talking about the cornerback with like the weapons charges, Henry Ruggs, like all this stuff that was like you're eliminating some of your best players. I'm worried that it could be used as a common objection for those that may oppose. I don't think it'll be enough, but at the same time, like where else would you put a team? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
they're
not going to put one like San Diego because California has what four teams? They're not going to add a fifth. And they just moved the Chargers from San Diego to LA. So I don't know, like the Knights sounds cool, but the thing is they already have the Golden Knights
and I would use the Golden Knights. I would use the Golden Knights as an example to counter your Raiders question and the personnel issues, because the Golden Knights, not a hockey guy, but I seem to remember that they made the Stanley Cup final. I don't know if they won or not their first year. So there's obvious examples of the expansion team success there. And in terms of where else you could put a team, this is going to sound very biased, but I'll follow it up with, I don't think it should or would ever happen, but I think Austin, Texas fits the bill.
You say it's biased, but like Austin is one of the hottest cities in the country for the last, 5 years now. It's one of the most the trendiest cities. If you want to attract, like you look at the NBA, you look at their demographic, it's people our age, millennials, Gen Z, a more progressive fan base, and that kind of epitomizes Austin.
Sure.
So I think that would be a very good bid for them. I don't think it, obviously Vegas probably an overwhelming.
Here's why it doesn't happen. Take Vegas out of it. The reason they will not move I don't think they will ever move another professional. You will not get baseball. You will not get hockey. You will not get NFL. You will not get NBA, because there's so many other. There's three NBA teams. There's two baseball teams. There's two football teams, including the most popular football team in the country.
Yep.
The fan bases are already divided up. They're apportioned to all the residents of Austin. I think you would have a tough
time drawing
getting
organic
fandom in Austin, which is why Austin FC works so well, because there's not a ton of MLS fans. Yeah. And so everybody can be a fan of that team. But yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. So I guess the next conversation, hypothetically, says happens.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process of, or what do you think the NBA's process would be in assigning players to these teams?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about expansion draft. Well, expansion draft is number one.
Yeah.
You would have to, well, there's 15 players on senior roster spots, I believe. I think you would get to protect eight. My first thought was 10, but I think you're eliminating
that,
the good players.
You're eliminating all the rotation players.
So I think the number's probably 7 or 8 protected players per team. Shoot, man, like that. Let me look at just the teams here. Like, who would that even?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so hypothetically, let's make it easier on us and say you protect 7 players from each
sure.
team. That
sure.
leaves half the team from each team available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What caliber of player, or who comes to mind as someone who would be a first pick?
Wow, man. Like, I don't like thinking about this.
That's tough. That You're team is really, immediately disadvantaged, like really badly.
I think it might have to be 6. Because if we're doing an expansion draft and this is what's happening, both of those teams are coming in, right? I don't think the NBA is going to have a year or any sort of period where they have 31 teams.
No, I don't. The scheduling would be awful. Yeah, I agree.
So you're expansion drafting for 2 teams. And I think you probably have to give them at least 8 picks, right? Because you're going to pick up some people in free agency. You're going to have the draft, et cetera. They would be most likely be given top pick mm-hmm. or top 2. I think they would have a special lottery for that, where one of those two teams would have the 1 and 2, I think.
Yep.
And again, if this, I was not like expansion hasn't happened since I believe early to mid 90s. So I don't think you were maybe even born yet. And I was not an NBA fan yet. So if you can protect 6 players on each team, just glancing at the 30 teams as they sit now, like, can you pick out anybody that if you're a GM for an expansion team and you just in your mind, the top 6 players from all these teams are protected. Can you throw a name out or a name or two out that comes to mind that you would maybe be drafting?
I'm going to go to the rosters right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the team names here.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. 6 because the thing is, you have to think it's not just the 6 best players on a team.
Right, some teams would protect their young assets.
A young ass, exactly. Like someone like Poku might be protected. You never know what the Thunder will do with that kind of team. Poku probably not. I mean, a little.
Yeah, but I understand what you.
But you understand the logic, yeah. Like Denver, for example, they would probably protect obviously Jokic, MPJ,
Murray.
But then there's an argument for like a Bones Highland.
I think you are protecting Bones.
I think you are too. Like, would you? I would assume they would protect Aaron Gordon there, but somebody like Monty Morris is probably out.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not a bad starting point guard if you're an expansion franchise.
No, it's not.
You know who gets pillaged? Oh, well, and I guess you don't get pillaged because I think the rule is probably you can only get 1 player chosen from your team.
I think probably, that's the rule
they would have.
Yes, but who are you going to say? I'm sure you were about to say the same team.
I was going to say Orlando.
I was going to say Orlando and Memphis. I think those 2 teams.
Yeah, good one.
Like, but Orlando, they just had the copious. Like, I don't think Markelle Fultz would be in Orlando. Yeah, he would. I think he would. I think it'd be Fultz, Suggs, Anthony, Carter, Franz. Would it be Mo Bamba? RJ Hampton? But the thing is, okay, then you're getting basically one of Markelle Fultz or RJ Hampton, who obviously have not carved out significant roles. Fultz has dealt with injuries, but when they're on the court, they have been able to produce at elite permanent rates. Yeah. Is it going to put you as an expansion team in contention? Absolutely not. But it'll put points on the board. Like Memphis is another one. Like, you obviously Ja Morant, Desmond Bane would be one. Jaren Jackson. Those are probably their top 3. But then it gets really interesting with obviously Steven Adams aging, Kyle Anderson aging. You have John Conchar. He'd be out. Tyus Jones, who I think is probably the best backup point guard in the league, I don't think he would be protected. So you have very viable options on these teams. Dylan Brooks would probably be protected. I even forgot what Dylan Brooks isn't playing forever. But It's really interesting to see, like, these teams could hold their own. But then it's
I think we have to do a mock expansion draft.
I think we do, right? Too. Not right now.
We have to set that up. But like, I think we'll set that up
either for next week or the week after.
That
would be fun because it really gives us time to sit down. You know, another team who could get pillaged is Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Especially in the front court.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody might be taking Precious.
Are you keeping Precious? Probably not. You're definitely not going to keep Chris Boucher. You're not going to protect. He's 29.
Yeah. He's too old. Let me pull that up. And I promise anybody still listening to this, we will move on momentarily. but this is fun. This is
for everyone listening, there's probably 15, 20 minutes left maybe in this podcast. This is a short one, so bear with us here.
So let's do Toronto, then we can move on. You're locking Scotty up.
You're locking Scotty. You're probably locking Fred.
Siakam.
Fred. I think you're locking OG.
OG. Trent.
That's four. Trent.
That's five.
So you basically, they're starting five. For a rebuilding team, they have one of the best top to bottom starting fives.
Masai didn't rebuild, Masai retools.
Yes, that's a very good way to put it.
Retools and refuels.
So then I would assume at that point they're probably going Precious, right?
I think I agree.
I would go Precious over Boucher, over Ken Burch. I would go Precious over Malachi Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
But
then if you're a expansion team, then you have a shot at somebody like Thad Young, who could be a great locker room presence as say these expansion teams were happening next year. 15-year vet at this point, by all accounts, a great locker room guy, and can still produce at a high enough level. Like,
yeah,
the expansion teams in the NBA, like the Vegas Golden Knights thing is not happening. It's just not happening. You're going to have to build up over multiple seasons, most likely, and then hope that being in a place like Vegas or even Seattle, that you're going to be able to attract a max player and start building.
Well, you think about like those two teams, you would attract, like, it might take a little bit to attract a superstar. But one, your first year, the way the NBA goes, you're going to be hit with some pretty nice draft capital year one.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps.
I'm just looking. I'm just like thinking of new teams that would be fun.
Okay. Hit me.
Warriors.
Yeah, dude. Like, obviously, you have Steph, Clay, Wiggins. You got James Wiseman, Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, one of those guys. Like, if you're an expansion team and you pick up Jonathan Kuminga, you are throwing a parade for your city.
Yes. All right. So let's see. As DJ Augustine will debut tonight. Yep, all right. Talk about veteran. So for the Warriors, okay, last one. Warriors, obviously, Steph, Clay, Dre.
Yep. I think they do. I don't know.
Probably Wiggins?
I would take Poole over Wiggins if I'm the Warriors, right?
Then you get into a contract situation because Poole is a free agent after this year, and you have Wiggins, I believe, for at least one more year.
Good point. Okay, so Wiseman over Wiggins, for sure. The number two pick, you have to.
I think the point here is that Moses Moody is probably unprotected.
Mm-hmm. He started this year.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Toscano-Anderson is a player that Gary Payton, these guys can contribute right away. Mm-hmm. Might be great.
And again, you have to keep in mind that with expansion teams, they are also going to have a shot at signing free agents after the expansion draft. So it's not like they're only getting all these like sixth, seventh men. They'll have the opportunity to sign somebody with a bit more clout, a bit more notoriety to their name. Let's get that on the books. I want to do a
mock expansion draft. And we need to add him in on that. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I really, really hope this happens because then, like I was saying, like you obviously you're at your disadvantage right away, but. Mm-hmm. Assuming you finish towards the bottom of the league, you have the most lottery balls, and you like the thing is you have an expansion team of like a hodgepodge of NBA guys, and you draft someone like Paolo or Chet, that changes your franchise. And then I think it would take some time to get a true supermax superstar in there. But you look at a player like a Jeremy Grant, who left a good situation in Denver because he wanted to be the guy in Detroit. You will be able, I think it would be pretty easy to lure in a guy with that type of mindset, knowing like, look, this team's starting over. I can take all the shots I want. I can be a locker room leader. So like, say it is Jeremy Grant, just to use him as a hypothetical because it happened last year.
Sure.
That's an above average NBA player that can give you 22 and 7 a game. You don't need a ton more than that to get your franchise off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see the coaches. I think that'd be a cool opportunity for someone like a Darvin Ham with the Bucks to get their first crack at a head coaching gig. Like, Becky I think Hammond. That's Becky
Hammond. Although I know she's going to do her thing in the WNBA. Correct. And I think she's going to be very successful.
But point is, these assistant head coaches who are like that haven't gotten their chance at that have interviewed, like this would be their opportunity to really like take ownership of something and begin a legacy almost, because you are literally starting a team from scratch. Maybe we see David Blatt back in the NBA. Who knows?
Hey, I don't think he wants to come back.
No, absolutely not. After the beating he took in Cleveland, the fall guy. But that would be fun. I'm like really excited about this now. I'm going to fire up my PS4 that I haven't touched in over a year and get like the fake 2K team going and design some stuff.
Yeah, dude, I have some tabs pulled up. I'm going to research how the expansion drafts have been done in the past so we can set ours up.
I'm going to find this guy I follow on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan in Six. He does the graphics for Mike and Jared's podcast. He leaks a lot of the city jerseys. I'm going to throw this to you in our StreamYard chat here if you can see it. Or is it not letting me use the chat? There we go. He made a mock-up of the logos in court for Vegas, the Las Vegas Venom. And this looks sick.
It also matches the Aces colors.
He also put the jerseys on D'Lo, Kawhi, Jaylen Brown, and Bradley Beal.
Yo, the Sin City jersey.
That is sick, fire. Right? That is really cool. But like, look at the player mock-ups. Like, it looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is really cool.
I know. It just gets me really excited. So shout out to Ryan. Guys, no idea who I am, but we're going to shout you out on the podcast because you do phenomenal work. So before we head out, is there anything else on this quick podcast that you wanted to hit on?
I don't think so. I guess what I would say is that I know we had a number of people following the podcast, especially when we did the live streams preseason, doing those underdog best ball drafts. And I know that the first round of the playoffs ends Sunday the 6th. So I know you and Steph have about double the teams that I do.
We're about a third of our teams, a third of our 150. But this round is not going. Wait, I'm teetering anywhere. And again, the second round is 16 team leagues.
Yeah,
I'm teetering anywhere between 11 out of 47 and 2 out of 47 getting through. So
yeah, depending on all the night, right.
All it takes is one.
Yeah,
but it's crunch time now. But to your point, keep going. Because I know you're going to preview something pretty fun.
Well, I was just going to say that, I guess, first of all, talking about my own teams, if anybody can remember back to draft season, I was taking tons of Paul George, Anthony Davis at the
Zion,
turn.
You had a
anytime
lot of Zion,
I was, too. Yes, anytime I was at the turn. And the Zion fell off towards the end, and I kept it with how many games that Paul George and Anthony Davis missed, that how much it hurt me reflects in how many teams I got through compared to you and Steph, I think. And I'll shout out Steph for two reasons. Number one, he has a great spread on his exposure to the first and second round players. So he did well there. And to tease this, we're getting him off the couch next week to come on the pod. It's been way too long. So those of you who have been waiting for a Stefano Vaccarino appearance, you do not have to wait much longer. He will be on here. We will go through our underdog teams in depth, and hopefully we have as many teams as possible.
And you know what?
Playing.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
Yeah, why not? We'll put it on the stream.
I agree. I think that'll be fun to fire it up. And it just gets me more excited for next year's draft season now. Like, now that we realize how fun this best ball, because this is our first year doing it. It was our first year having it. I'm all in for next year. We'll get rankings on the site, and we'll get it going. But yeah, it should be fun. We don't have an exact date for that quite yet. Yeah, it'll be early next week at some point. I know Stefano said he's free just about all week. So we're getting on the schedule, and we're getting that expansion draft on the schedule ASAP because that is going to be a lot of fun. That was quick, 35 minutes. Hopefully we kept your attention for the whole time. If we did, we appreciate you. If not, shame on you.
Shame on us.
Shame on us. We need to step up what we're doing. Well, Zach, I appreciate you hopping out with me. We are streaming together Saturday, so tune in to the free FTN Daily live stream, little Saturday Dream Stream special. For Joe, for Zach, Adam, we wish you well and hope you feel better. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. This is the FTN NBA podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMets34, and at KowisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.